right now. Open them up, the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. First Timothy chapter number 4, go to verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Our Father, I pray you'd bless us as we study. I pray that you would put everything else out of our hearts, out of our minds, and help us to concentrate on you, on your word, and how that you want to change us, guide and direct in everything. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. We live in an age where the cancel culture is in full bloom. There are certain words, there are certain phrases, there are certain things, and I won't go into all of these things, that are designed for the sole purpose to shut you up. If you don't agree with somebody, if you don't agree with their argument, if you don't agree with the point that they're making, and you allow that disagreement to be voiced, they will use a word or two at you for the sole purpose of shutting you up. Okay? They will try to silence you. They don't want to hear what you think. They don't want to hear your opinion. They don't want to hear anything about what you think to be true or right. They simply want to stop the dialogue and have you close your mouth. You understand what I'm talking about? Timothy was undergoing a similar thing here in the church at Ephesus. Paul tells him in verse number 12, let no man despise thy youth. Let no man despise thy youth. Basically, it was the idea of someone saying, what do you know, Timothy? You're just a kid. That was the phraseology going around. The Greeks gave they gave a whole lot of props to age and experience. And so the Hebrews. Now, Timothy is about 35 to 40 years old at this time. And he tells them, let no man despise thy youth. Now, I never thought 40 was all that young. I do now. And he tells, let no man despise thy youth. You see, it wasn't his youth. It wasn't his age. It wasn't necessarily an experience. It was people who didn't want to hear him and wanted to shut him up, shut him down, and cancel him. And therefore, if they could shut him up, shut him down, and cancel him, they thought they weren't responsible for what he had to say. Does that make sense? So he tells them, you want to not get canceled? Here's how you are to live. Here is how you are to behave yourself in the church of God in all things. So this is for all of us. There's one point that is for me, but I'll fix it and have it for you too. But this is how we're to live. So the title of the message is Don't Get Canceled, with a subtitle of Fundamentals for the Faithful. Fundamentals for the Faithful. But here it is, don't get canceled. You want to know how you can stop getting canceled in your Christian life by telling you, well, you're a hypocrite. Church is full of hypocrites. Who do you think you are telling me this and telling me that? Don't get canceled. Paul tells Timothy how to live in such a way as to not get canceled, as to make his youthfulness at 35 to 40 year olds, take it off the table, because he's living this way. So here they are. Number one, example. Example. He says in verse number 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Be an example. You want to know now you want to know how not to get canceled? First of all, is be the example that you should be all of the time. Amen. Now, let's face it. You are an example. You're either a good one or you're a good bad one. But you're an example. And so am I. Now, bad examples get called hypocrites. You know why? Shake your heads, make me feel better. Because they are. Now, those of us who understand Christianity, those of us who understand who we are and what Christ has done for us, understand that we're all hypocrites. Because none of us are exactly who we should be at all times. Amen? But we don't want to allow someone else to see the hypocrisy because it's growing in us so fast, so quickly, so much, and what we say and what we do are two different things. That should never happen. Amen. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to do dumb things. We're all going to be hypocrites from time to time, but it shouldn't be a lifestyle. When it's a lifestyle, they'll use that word hypocrite to cancel you, and anything you say is then garbage. Nonsense. Of absolutely no value. So he tells them here, be an example. Be an example. You want to not get canceled? Be a good example of the believers. Act like a Christian. Be a Christian. Does that make sense to anybody? Be a Christian. At all times. He gives them some areas to be a Christian in, to be that example in. He says, be the example in word. Be the example in word. That's in your speech, in what you say. Be an example in what you say. Because there are some things as a believer that you should never say. Do we know that? We understand that? There are some things as a believer you should say. There are things that you should not say. Jesus Christ said that what you say doesn't just come out of your mouth. It comes out of your mouth, but it comes from your heart. You see, what you say comes out of your heart. So be careful what you say. Be an example of what to say. Because there are people looking at your life, and you need to example believers to them. You need to example Christ to them. And if what you're saying sends a different message than what you are, than the way you are living, there's a problem. Be an example in your speech. We need to learn how to say the right thing in the right way. Amen? Say the right thing in the right way. You can say the right thing, but you can say it in the wrong way. You can say the wrong thing and say it in the wrong way. But we learn how to, we need to learn how to speak the truth in love. And in doing so, we'll example, the believers will example Jesus Christ in word. The next one is in conversation. In conversation. The word conversation there means your lifestyle, your conduct. So you need to be example in how you behave. Not just what you say, not just what comes out of your mouth, but how you act, how you conduct yourself in this life. Be an example of the believer. Turn to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Verse number 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men your good works, your conduct, your lifestyle, your conversation, let your life so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Your conversation, your lifestyle needs to be pointing to Christ at all times. You want to not get canceled? Make sure you conduct yourself in a proper way, in a biblical way. In a way that befits the believer, that befits Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. (Clears throat) 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Okay? He said, let your lifestyle be honest among the people who are unsaved. Honest carries the idea of open and transparent. You should be the same, no matter where you are and no matter who you're with, and that is an example of lifestyle of the believer. Amen. He says, they might speak evil of you. They might say bad things about you. They may not like you, and they might attack you at some points. He says, but one day when the Holy Spirit convicts them of something wrong in their life, that's the day of visitation, they'll glorify God. Amen. Let your conversation be as such. Be an example, and you can't be canceled. In word, in conversation, in charity. In charity. The word charity there means, of course, love. Agape, love. How you love God and how you love God's people. Be an example of love in all that. Go to Philippians chapter number 2. In your words, in your lifestyle, in your love. In Philippians chapter number 2, we get basically the definition of love, that this kind of love, the definition of it. Start reading verse number 1, Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, here it is, lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let every man esteem other better than themselves. Who do we too often look out for? What's the world tell you to do? Look out for number one. And who's number one? Everybody say me. Who's number one? Me. Okay? The Bible tells us here love is looking out for the other guy. The other person. Let every man esteem other better than themselves. Okay, here we go. One of my dumb illustrations. Okay, there's two pieces of cake left after fellowship. You didn't get any, and you're racing to the table to get one of the last two pieces. You following me? And there's a big one, there's a little one. Okay, in your mind, because you were trained to be polite, you were trained to be kind, and as you're racing for that last big piece, because that's the one you want, in your mind you say, I'm supposed to take the small one, but I want the big one. So you get there just as somebody else gets there, and in your mind you go, they were taught the same thing, you go first. Because who are we thinking about? Me. Me. You get the idea. Who are we supposed to be thinking about? The other person. That's love. We talked about it this morning in the adult Sunday school classes, and something we need to understand. True love, true holiness is setting self aside and loving someone else closer to Christ. Amen. That's what we need to do. That's being an example, and no one will cancel you if that's the way you're living. Be an example in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit. In spirit. This is in how you submit to the Spirit of God. Now let me share something with you. The words yielded to the Spirit, submitted to the Lordship of Christ, and obedient to the Word of God all mean the same thing. Did you get that? Yielded to the Spirit, submitted to Christ's Lordship, and obedient to the Word of God are one and the same. So if we are obedient to the word of God, we are submitted to the lordship of Christ because he told us to follow what he said in the scriptures. If we are obedient to the word of God, we are submitted to the spirit of God because he wrote the scriptures. He inspired the writers to write it. And when we are one of those things, we are all three of those things. And we need to be an example of being yielded to the Spirit, submitted to the lordship of Christ, and obedient to the word of God, and no one's ever going to cancel you. Wow. Fifth one, in faith. In faith, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith. It does not refer to belief, but rather your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2, Paul writes, "Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful." How many of us has God called to be faithful? All of us. How many of us can be faithful? All of us. That's the one thing we can do. That's the one thing we should be doing at all times. And then we'll be an example of the believers. The last one is purity. Purity. Be an example in purity. Now, let's play a little game here. Math game. Purity. Put a percentage on purity. What would be the percentage? Come on, what is it? 100%. Okay? How much is impure? Well, let's see. If something's 99.9% impure, do you want it? How about 1% impure? Do you want it? No. But we are to be an example in purity. What's the percentage? 100% pure. Wow. Can we be? Let's try that again. Can we be? Yes. Yes. Are we? Are you? That's what we need to be. If we're that kind of an example, no one will be able to cancel us. Number two, exhort. Exhort. Back in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, he says in verse number 13, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Now this is for the preacher to do. And it's for the listeners to look for and listen to. Does that make sense? He's talking about Timothy at his job of preaching the word of God. He tells him how to do it here. Now, this is the kind of preaching you need to look for, and this is the kind of preaching you need to listen to. He tells him, don't neglect reading, that's the public reading of the word of God. Don't neglect exhortation, and don't neglect doctrine. And the word doctrine there talks about the full teaching of God's word. He's telling Timothy here, when you preach, read the word of God, tell them what it means, and make application to their lives. Amen. Exhort them. Now, that's the kind of preaching that I always work at. And that's the kind of preaching you need to be discerning of and listen to that, because there's all kinds of preachers out there. There's all kinds of preachers. You can listen to anybody on the internet these days. A good number of them aren't worth listening to. Okay? You need to watch out for proof text preachers. Okay? They come up with a sermon, and then they go to the Bible to find out some verses that fit in. They write a book, and then they look for some verses to fit in. They might grab a concordance and find some of the words that they said, and they will include those, and they'll sound like it came out of the Bible when it didn't come out of the Bible at all. It came out of their own head, their own thought, their own ideas, their own opinions, and then they added a Bible to make sure it was biblical. No, I don't think so. That's completely backwards. He tells Timothy, you read the Word of God, teach it to them exactly as it says, and then make application to their lives. Go to Nehemiah chapter number 8. Nehemiah chapter number 8. Nehemiah chapter number 8. They gather the people together. They want to introduce the Word of God to them again. So they read the Word of God from morning until midday. Everyone that can understand the reading of the Word of God is there. Children are there. Adults are there. Everyone can understand it is there. And they read the Word of God. They read directly out of the Word of God for a long time because it is the Word of God. In verse number 8, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and cause them to understand the reading. Boy, there's definition of preaching right there. They read the Word of God. They caused them to understand it. They gave the sense. They taught the Word of God. They showed them what it was about, and they made application to their lives. Now, that's the kind of preaching we need to listen to, hear, understand, and that's why you're encouraged to bring your Bibles. Find out if what I'm telling you is true. Because you have the responsibility to do that. Amen? Amen. You need to go ahead and be exhorted in that way. Example, exhort. Three, effect. Back in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, effect. You need to have what you're doing affect you, have an effect on you, so that we'll have an effect on everybody else. He says in verse number 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, and with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Work hard at what God has called you to do and become proficient at it, is what he's telling Timothy here. And what he's telling us. Work hard at what God has called you to do and become proficient at it. Allow what you're doing to have an effect on you that it might have an effect on other people. Now, I've told you before, and I'll tell you again right now, the idea of competence and reliance. Competence and reliance. I remember back in 1988, it was June 19th, 1988, when the church called me to be the pastor of the church. I went back into the office, my office. It was empty at the time. After the vote was taken, I was voted. I fell on my knees with the weight of the entire thing, and I just thought, I'm going to have to preach a whole lot of sermons. Sunday morning, twice. Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm going to have to preach and preach. How is that going to happen? And I remember thinking, there's no way, because I remember preaching as youth pastor, when I was youth pastor, I'd get to preach all those times thinking, he can have it. You know, I was excited about preaching, I wanted to preach, but the idea was, he can have it. You know, and you're completely reliant on God. Does that make sense? Completely reliant on God. Your competence is down here. But if you do something for a while, you become competent at it. Your competency rises. What you can't allow to happen is your reliance on God to fall. Does that make sense? So that your reliance on God goes down here and your competence goes way up here. That's dangerous. God has never called us to do that. You work at what you do. You should become good at it. Amen? No matter what you're doing for God, what ministry you're involved in, how you're doing it, how you're raising your kids, how you work in your marriage, whatever marriage, you got to become better at it all the time because you're working at it. But never stop relying on God for Him to work in you and through you. Amen. And that reliance and that competence should even out, but way up here, not somewhere down here, where what we're doing is more important than what God can do through us. That's what he's telling him here. God's called you. God's placed you. God's working in you. God's working on you. God's working through you. Allow that progress to be seen by everybody, because you're becoming more competent at being a Christian. You're becoming more competent at being an example. You're becoming more competent at witnessing with to people. You're becoming more competent at living the Christian life. Oh, you're relying on God the entire time. But get good at what you do. Now, we strive to be better at what we do in all other areas of life. All other areas of life, at our jobs, at this, at that, no matter what it is, we're trying to do it better. And yet somehow, we skip our Christianity. Just don't get better at it. Work at getting better at it. And it is just that work. And if you are working every day at being a better Christian, a better minister for Christ's sake, you'll never get canceled. Because your life is backing up your words, and they match. And no one can say, shut up, you're a... No. They might still do it. But that's on them. It's not on us. And we need to keep living for Christ. Fourthly, lastly, examine. He says in verse number 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed unto whom? You read it, thyself. Take heed to thyself. In all reality, who's the only person I'm in charge of? Who's the only person you're in charge of? Who's the only person you can change? Who's the only person you can lead to be an example? It's you. So what's he say? Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Look at yourself first. Always look at yourself first. What does God want from me and for me? Wow. When I preach the Word of God, I don't say, no, what can I get for so-and-so? What does George need today? I don't think anybody in here is named George. If that's your name, I'm sorry. I wasn't picking on you. What does George need? I don't preach like that. But as I'm studying the Word of God, I'm allowing God to speak to me. And He beats me up in my study before I ever come to the pulpit. Amen. We need to come in and never say, you got him, Pastor. You really got him today. It's, what does God want from me? What does God want for me? Because I'm examining myself. I'm taking a look at me. What does God have in His Word for me today? And how can He change me today? Wow. We need to examine ourselves. Amen. Amen. The word save there, because that question will come up. What does he mean by thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee? The word save there means deliver. It carries the idea of persevering, not quitting. If you are constantly examining who you are, where you are in your Christianity, taking a look at yourself, you'll fix the things that are wrong and you'll persevere. You won't quit. Amen. And then those that are following you, those that are looking at you, those that are listening to you won't quit either. That's the idea there. Examine yourself. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. Look at verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. Examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Number one, examine whether or not you're saved. Examine whether or not you've truly trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Examine yourself. Examine your life. Are you saved? Really saved? Truly saved? You should know. And be honest with yourself. Make sure you're saved. And then examine your life. And make sure you're right with God. Go to Psalm 139, 139th Psalm. You want not to get canceled? Make verses 23 and 24 your prayer. Psalm 139, verse number 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now let's ask a brief question as we close the sermon. Doesn't God already do this stuff? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Does he search us? Does he know our hearts? Does he test us, try us, and know our thoughts and see what's in us all the time? The answer is yes. So why then is David praying that prayer, God, do these things that you already do? It's the idea of, God, I'm giving you permission to tell me where I'm at. Because honestly, most people don't want to know. Most people don't want to know. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm great. Don't bother me with that stuff. Life is good. Where I want it to be. I don't want Christianity or anything else messing it up. And so while we know God is searching us, we don't really want to know the answer of what he found. And David's saying here, Lord, I need you to search me. I need you to know my heart, know my thoughts. I want you to see what's in me and then lead me to how I can make it right. Lord, I'm giving you my permission to do that in order that you might tell me and I'll fix it and we can change it and we can make it right. You want to not get canceled? Pray that prayer. You want to not get canceled? Examine your life. So be an example. Be exhorted by the Word of God. Let it have an effect on you and affect everyone around you as you become better at what you do, at living like a Christian, and then examine yourself. Just sit down all by yourself. Say, Lord, search me. Know me. Try me. Show me the result and lead me where I need to be. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can spend together in your word. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts through it. Lord, I pray it is all of our desire to be better at being a Christian, to be better at serving you, to be better at modeling Christianity for all those who are watching our lives. Help us, Lord, to understand that in a world that wants to shut us up, we've got to speak up more than ever. We cannot be hypocrites. We cannot be canceled out because we're sold out for you. Guide and direct in the decisions we make right now. I pray that you would speak to our hearts about what we need to do. And I pray that we would incorporate these things into our lives that we might live and point to you at all times. Guide, direct, and bless as we make decisions. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, what does God want you to do? Well, he doesn't want you to get canceled. He doesn't want someone to look at your life and be able to say a phrase, a word, a term, and just shut you up and shut you down because it's true. He wants you to be different. He wants you to be weird. He wants you to be strange in a world that needs to see different. That's supposed to be us. That's supposed to be us. But in order to do that, we've got to incorporate these four things into our lives. What does God want you to do? Maybe it's one of them. Maybe it's four of them. Maybe it's none of them. You just need to keep on keeping on. But whatever God wants you to do this morning, do it. Do it. Look to him and do what he has you to do. You say, Pastor, first of all, Pastor, I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm going to heaven. I know my sins are forgiven. I'm saved and I know it. Put your hand up as a testimony to that fact. You're saved and you know it. Put your hand up. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 Christian, how are you doing? You take these four words that we mentioned this morning. How are you doing with them? You say, Pastor, God has spoken to me. I want to make sure that I'm right with him, that I might not be just canceled out with the words of this world, that I might stand for him and have a life that is backing up what I say. Pastor, God spoke to me. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. 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 Maybe you're here today, you never trusted Christ as Savior. You don't know that you're saved. You don't know that you're going to heaven. You don't know that your sins are forgiven. You don't know Christ. You say, Pastor, I don't know. Or, Pastor, I'm not sure about it. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, just slip your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, I don't know. I'm not sure. Pray for me. Anyone at all, just slip your hand up, put it back out. That's the most important decision you could make. We love you here. We want to see you saved. Christ loves you. He wants to save you. He died to save you. He shed his blood that your sins might be forgiven. He took your payment. He took your punishment. He took your penalty and paid it in full when he went to the cross. He arose the third day to show everybody that everything he said was true. and you could believe in him. You say, Pastor, I don't know that I've done that. I don't know I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Pray for me. Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Our Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the insight we gain from it. Thank you for allowing us to have it and learn from it. And I pray that that's the case this morning. Not just intellectual knowledge, but life-changing knowledge. And I pray that we would incorporate these things into our lives that we might be faithful to you in all things. Guide and direct in every decision made. If there's anyone in our midst who's never been saved, show them their need, draw them to you. Bless us now in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab a songbook right in front of you. Turn to page 335. 335. If God has spoken to your heart, we invite you to make a decision right now during this invitation. That's what an invitation is all about. A time when we invite you to make a decision for Christ. What does he want you to do? What decision does he want you to make? Make it right now as we sing. If you need to speak to me, I'll be waiting for you right down front. If you need to make a decision about salvation, I'll be waiting for you right down front. Whatever it is, right now, what does God want you to do? Talk to him as we sing.